Is that we're going to have a real quick word of prayer?
I'm going to summarize a little bit about what I summarized about yesterday, talking about the gift, and then we're going to kind of get into the word called reward or the crown, or what the Lord is going to give us. So that's kind of going to be our session today. So let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence, and we do ask your guidance and instruction and your help. And we'd ask, Lord, that you would help us be an encouragement to others so that they might want to serve you and put you first in their lives. Bless your word, bless the hearers, and bless the speaker. We ask it all in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. So just to kind of summarize a little bit about what I talked about yesterday, was talking about the word gift, and we're in 1 Timothy, so let's go there. And you know, it seems to me like whenever I'm doing this, I think it was 2 Timothy and 1. I was talking about the gift that that Timothy had, and I was asked to kind of summarize that. So in verse 6 he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." And so what I said, and I'm still leaning this way, but what I said about that was that Timothy was the kind of guy that needed some strength, some ability, some encouragement. If we go on to read there, it says that he wasn't given. The Lord didn't give him a spirit of fear. And so evidently, Timothy was one of those people that's kind of timid, or we could say that he did have some fear, and that the Lord would strengthen him in that area. He says, but the power of love, so he said that there was some energy there that was given Timothy, and it was given out of love, from the Lord through him, and then have a sound mind. The other thing that came up, which I didn't think about this, and I'm still not sure this is right, but I'm just going to go ahead and mention Jean. She's the one that asked me this question that got me thinking about this. But she said, was the job or the ministry that Timothy had, was that the gift? Well, if you think about it, it was given to Paul directly, the mysterion truth, and it was given to him then to not only hear it and receive it, but to write it down and to pass it on in that way. So I don't think Timothy got that. In other words, he didn't get divine inspiration. He wasn't given instructions directly from God. He got the ministry that he was going to carry on. He would get it through the scriptures, and not the job in and of itself. The question I've been putting back and forth in my mind is about work. In other words, if he was given this ministry, the ministry is work. Could we consider the work to be a gift? That's the question in my mind. Most of us, if we've got a job, we're not always content and happy and joyful with the job, because there's always good and bad things that come with the job. But when I'm thinking about the job or the ministry that Timothy would have been given, which would be, in essence, to kind of carry on what Paul had been doing, but not doing it in a way where he's getting the information directly from God, could we consider that a gift? So the question in my mind is, is there more than one gift, or are there the two gifts? And I, you know, to be quite honest with you, I really don't care that much whether I'm right one way or the other. I'm really only interested in what the Lord has to say about this anyway. But I got to thinking, each one of us, if we think about it, we each have a ministry, one way or another. And can we say that that's a gift of God, that ministry that we've been each given? Some of us work at it harder than others. Some of us have more to do than others. And then the other hand, can we, like Timothy, trust the Lord that he will give us the right mindset, the right attitude, the strength to really do his work? Because that's really what it's about. It's the ministry and preaching the truth and the rightly divided word is really what the Lord would have each and every one of us to be doing. So I'm not drawing a complete conclusion one way or the other. I don't know if that's helpful. If we think about this gift that Timothy had, whether it was just this the abilities he was given, which believe me, I think when you get involved with this and start sharing the word, you really do need some help. You need the Holy Spirit to help and to guide and instruct. And you need others to kind of bounce this off of. And we're fortunate. We have a large group. We have 5 people in our fellowship. And on a day when things are really going good, we'll have 10, which just really fills up our room there at Truth for Today. We have people that write and think Truth for Today is this huge headquarters and there's hundreds of people. You know, we got, you know, on a good day, 10. That's the max we've had, actually, is 10. Most of the time, it's 5. We will have a lesson if there's 3. We make a tape. We actually send out more tapes than the people that's in the room. But at any rate, I think the Lord helps us with that ministry. And I thank him for that. And I thank each and every one of you who pray for the truth for today. And we hope, Lord willing, if he wants us to continue in it, that we'll do that. And we've got, Mike mentioned his conference. We have a conference in June. We're sending out, this next paper that we're sending out is going to have a map. And the guy that made up this list that we were actually inserted into the paper put my phone number and my cell number in there for you guys to contact me. And I'm only interested in, you contact me if you're going to be there, because we have to figure out how many meals we're going to make. So that's the purpose of the contest. It's going to be more work again, and it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be a successful conference. The Lord will have everyone there that needs to be there. We've had people tell us that they don't know anything about the conference. They don't know when it is, where it's at, or anything about it. And yet we talk about it all the time. So hopefully this time it'll get out more Ron Powell Talk now, and we're putting out that information on Powell Talk also. One other little thing I want to get into just before I start on my lesson for the day is the idea that we were originally going to try and put this on Powell Talk now to make this live now. Well, it didn't turn out. This building we're in doesn't have a wireless system that'll let us get out into Powell Talk. So what we're going to do, Barney... Well, actually, Ronnie's recording this, but Barney's probably going to be sending out these lessons via on a tape, so people will still be able to attend the conference through the tapes, even though they aren't in the room with us. So I think that's going to be a good thing. And just to remind the speakers, we don't want to put more pressure on them, but be mindful that it's a bigger audience than just the people in this room when we make these tapes. And it's always it's one of the things that we're learning when we put this out. We don't really have eye contact. We're just looking at a screen where we're talking to people using this media. But we find it to be profitable. And I've said in the paper, it's like having a mini conference. And so the value to have a meeting and seeing people's faces is I can close my eyes and see who I'm talking to, that kind of thing. So, all right, now let's get into our lesson. We want to look at, let's go to Philippians 3:14. And we're looking at this word reward. By the way, the theme of the conference this year is going to be about this topic. The different speakers that we have there, and I think there's 8 or 9, I can't remember exactly. But we're not required that each man speak on this subject, but it's a suggested topic. And as I teach this and share this, I'm hoping that I'll have a better understanding of this. Philippians 3:14. He says, I press, this is the Apostle Paul, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I understand this word press as this idea that he's working toward a goal. He has a goal in view. Here's the problem you get into. People, when we just go through and we read about our inheritance and our calling and all those things, it seems like it's for every body member. Not that that's a bad thing. It's a good thing. It is for every body member. But the trouble we have is when we see somebody like Paul pressing toward the mark for the prize. Because there is the Bible teaches over there in Hebrews, it says that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. And so the question gets in my mind, what happens if you don't press toward the mark for the prize? Do you lose the prize? I don't really think you lose the inheritance, because that's secure. But whether you receive the prize or not, which in my mind, I'm thinking, what is the prize? What is it that he's striving to receive here? And so when we think about that, one of the things, let's go over to 2 Timothy. One of the things he talks about over there is this crown. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:4, I think. He's going to... verse 5, but we're going to read in verse 3 first. Because one of the things when Paul speaks here, he had an audience. Some of the people were soldiers, some of them were athletes, and some of them were farmers. So each one of these different people that he knew and that had these different professions, when he would speak to them, he would speak to them in a language that they would understand, that they would acknowledge. So one of them, he says here in verse 3, is that thou would endure hardness as a good soldier. Well, if you've been in the military and you've been through some of the things that they put you through, you understand what that means to endure hardness. And it just has the idea that your life belongs to Uncle Sam, and you don't try to get wrapped up with too many other things while you have this commitment. In my case, it was 4 years. So in order to be a good soldier, to be somebody that got along effectively, enduring hardness just meant that you put your life in order, had it in such an order that it didn't have a lot of distractions, that you could actually do the job that was needed and without a lot of distractions, so that you could be effective. And he says here in verse 4 that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So it's very, very possible that when we're a believer in Jesus Christ and we have the hope of the mystery, that we're going to be in a battle. In Ephesians 6, it talks about putting on this armor. And so that to me tells me that in some respects we are soldiers, that we can identify with the soldiers, and we can identify with not letting the cares of this life overwhelm us or consume too much more time. And he says in verse 5, and if a man also strives for the masteries, and these are athletes, we have these people that perform in the Olympics, and it's the Olympics are every 4 years. They make a commitment to do that. They don't hardly do anything else. They train everything for that 2 to 4 minutes that they're on the stage there performing. So that's who he's referring to here. It's somebody who has got the goal in view. They know what they're trying to accomplish, and they're going to do the exercises and eat the right food and do those things necessary to win the prize. And by the way, this
prize that we're after, we have a greater chance of achieving it if we help others try to get there first. Which this is kind of just the opposite of the way the world thinks. But that's what it's all about when the Lord says that we are to love one another. It's putting the others first, putting their best interest in view, and desiring to have them succeed. So strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And that, I'm not a very good golfer, but I play a little bit of golf since I've gotten a little older, and I want to say I'm retired, but really the best I could say would be semi-retired. I'm not even sure that's accurate, because I'm working harder now than I did when I was working. But it's just the way Joe has told me, look and try to find where you can find where there's retirement in the scriptures. And I haven't found it yet, so I guess I'm not really retired. But this, when we start thinking about this golf and playing golf, there's rules. There's lots of rules of the golf. And you can be disqualified for just writing down the wrong number on your score. All the work that you do, all the effort that you do, you can be disqualified if you sign the card wrong because your score wasn't accurate. I don't know. The Lord really is the one that keeps track of the not only the rules, but whether we're keeping the rules. That's His job. He's good at it. Sometimes we're not very good at keeping score. The older we get, it's harder to remember, especially if you score a lot of strokes. But in this, when the Lord's keeping track, He knows those things that we're doing, that He can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And He also knows those things that we're doing, if it's just for the wrong reason. We're doing it more for ourselves rather than for Him. So we need to know the rules, and then allow the Lord to be our judge. It's His job. He wants to do it. He's good at it. And we should allow Him to do it. Allow Him to do in our lives what He's good at, which is judging us. And try to get out of that frame of mind where we're kind of judging our own work or trying to put some kind of value on what we're doing, whether it's successful or not. So when we're striving lawfully, I think, and trying to receive this crown, the thing we have to do, and when I was working, we used to, once a year, we would have to sit down and decide what we were going to do in the following year to improve ourselves, to be better at whatever our job was. Most of the time, in my case, as a buyer, they were always trying to figure out ways for me to save money, to buy things, the quantities that we needed, buy them in such quantities that we had them there, but that we didn't have too much, and that we didn't pay too much for. Well, you're really kind of limited in how much you can do and what you can do by the people you're dealing with, but they teach you how to negotiate and how to conduct business in such a way that you can do that. So what I'm suggesting to each and every one of us is, not that we have to do this yearly, it may be better that we do it weekly, but to set goals, or daily. they do teach you that. They tell you set a short-term goal and then set a long-term goal. And what they found in business, and typically this is for people in sales, but if you set a term and have a stretch goal, something more than you think you're capable of doing, if you'll do that, you'll accomplish that. So I keep thinking when I'm reading these verses that's what the Lord wants us to do, is set a goal. And what He says here is that the Lord is going to reward us for this service. And so what the thing I want you to know completely is that the Lord is the rewarder, that the reward He's going to give us will be worthy of the work. So we're working for a good taskmaster, one who demands a lot, but He's going to supply, as we learned from reading Timothy, He's going to supply the means to do it, going to give us the energy to do it. I think set the guidelines by which we need to do it. So we just need to set aside a goal, and the goal should be that we would receive this crown. The question came back now, is this a real crown that other people can see? And is it a crown with lots and lots of jewels? Charlene said, no. And of course, that's the argument. We go back and forth, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is. You know, it almost seems to me, if it's not real, then what's the point? If no one can see it, what's the point? If the crown isn't real, why strive for it? I think it's real. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know exactly what it looks like. And I do. And I will say this: if we're striving with just the intent of receiving this prize, then that's not necessarily a good thing either. Because as I said before, the goal in this is to help others. To help others be successful. To help them succeed. To help them understand. To help them live a godly life. And so that seems to run contrary to this selfish thing here, getting your own reward, your own prize. Let's go over to the end of 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. There's some instructions given here where he says, I charge thee, this is Paul again, talking to Timothy again, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. So this should be one of our goals. Preach the word. Be instant in season. And that just has the idea of being ready. It seems to me the way this works, if you'll prepare, an opportunity will come. If you don't prepare, you'll miss an opportunity. You'll wish you would have had the... Someone said it earlier, either today or yesterday, about Forrest should have called on Jean. She would have had the right thing to say. She would have had that right word for the season, that she's prepared. And then she would do it in a way that they would hear. It says in season or out of season. So my advice to you is, for one of your goals is to be prepared to preach the word. He says reprove. I have a little bit of trouble with this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And I don't know about you and how you conduct your own life, but I have enough time just keeping myself in order. I don't feel like it's my goal to go around and try to improve others. To reprove them. To rebuke them. To exhort them. But there must be a way of doing this that can be received. He says, and with all long-suffering and doctrine. So again, it's giving them the scripture to help them, to encourage them, to instruct them. And I guess again, it comes down to attitude. But Timothy was asked, instructed, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now this was said to him, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they sweep up themselves teachers having itching ears. It seems to me like this is more prevalent now than it was when this was said to Timothy. Because we have an awful lot more stuff going on, trying to pass laws that are contrary to the truth. And it seems like what's right is wrong, and they're even trying to redefine what a marriage is. I find that very interesting. That they can't take what God said constitutes a marriage. They want to change that and make it something that fits society. What society wants. What they say the majority wants. So that's these itching ears. That's just telling people what they want to hear and passing laws that they want. And that they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and he shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. When I was read that as I was preparing for this, thinking about that gift. I'm thinking about maybe this does fit. Maybe there is a gift of the ministry. A certain job. You know, you really didn't appreciate the job till you lost it. One of the jobs I had to do at my work, we do what we call outsourcing. So I had to go to another company, actually went to three companies, and ask them what they could come in and do the work that we were doing with our own employees. How much you could do it for? Could you do it for less? Can you do it with less people? What's it going to cost us? Well, I was successful in getting that done. I got people to come in and do our work, which at the time was working in the vehicle maintenance shop. So, by my success, by me accomplishing the goal, I was out of a job. And so what they said was, we'll get you another job. Well, they did eventually. I became a buyer. That's where I finally ended up. But the saying, you know, you really didn't appreciate the job till you didn't have the job. And I'm thinking about maybe this ministry is like that. You really don't appreciate the ministry till you either don't have it or don't understand what it is, or you haven't gotten involved with it. But I think if you do get involved with the ministry, that the pay is out of this world. And that's what we're talking about when we start thinking about the Easter rewards. You may have some success now. We're not promised basket in store. But we can depend on the Lord to take care of us, to meet every need, to meet those requirements that we'll have. I'm confident the Lord will do that. Paul says this in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul knew his days were numbered. I don't know how the Lord told him this. I don't know if he came to him and said, They do this sometimes with people that have cancer. You got 6 months. Get your affairs in order. Everything you wanted to accomplish, that you wanted to accomplish in your lifetime, if you got some personal affairs you need to get done, do them now. Because you don't have much time left. Paul got that message, that his time, he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I don't think he's talking about going down to the airport and getting on a plane. I think he's talking about his death. I think he's talking about the nearness of his life being ended and him moving. Actually, he's going to be going to the grave, but the next thing he will know will be in the presence of the Lord. He says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I think each and every one of us need to find what that is. What is the course the Lord would have us on? Paul knew what his was. He was confident of it. He knew he was doing the right thing. He knew he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. He was in the ministry the Lord wanted him in. And he says he kept the faith. And he goes on in verse 8. And I want you to notice what he says here. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what I'm taking to be literal. A literal crown that others could see. I don't know if that's going to help us. None of us in this room have seen Paul face to face. But we might know him if he's one of these individuals that has this crown that would identify him. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And this is the part I want you to, you know, I'm not asking you to write in your Bible or underline, but remember this. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so as a goal, one of the things we should have for our long-term goals is to love or have a regard for his appearing. And so, you know, we could go and show you, I think it's in Colossians 3:4, but it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. Right now, Christ is invisible. He's hidden. And when he becomes visible, we are going to be made visible with him. So this isn't the rapture. This is called an appearing. It's called, in the Greek, it's epiphania. But it's that bright shining forth that's going to happen in the heavenlies. And there's not two thrones, there's one throne. He says he's in the right hand of God. But in really it means in his rightful place, which is to be seated in the throne. And that's where we will see him. That's where he will appear. He will appear in his throne. He'll be visible. And by the way, the only God you and I will ever know is Jesus Christ. That's going to be who we're going to see on that throne. And he's the one we are going to appear with. I'm not so sure at that point in time we're going to be so concerned about our own rewards. I think it's going to be one of those things where we're going to be so overcome with being in his presence that these things won't be important to us. But I keep coming back in my mind where Paul keeps reminding us that there's this crown to be received if we're faithful. Faithful to the end. So I don't want to belittle that or slight that or say that's not important. That God doesn't count this as something that we should value. That we should include as one of those goals. I think it is something that we should set at as a goal. The fact that we are going to appear with him, and the fact that there's a crown of righteousness, that the Lord will give to those who love or have a high regard for his appearance. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:24. It's difficult for us to find very much truth about this crown in 1 Corinthians 9 and our epistles. But what I think we can do when we go back to Paul's other epistles is we can find how the Lord deals with other believers in a different dispensation. And being the Lord doesn't change, I think he uses similar methods in every dispensation to teach, to instruct, to encourage. Obviously, he does different things. I'm not saying that he doesn't do that. But what I am suggesting is that he in other dispensations, there's going to be literal, physical crowns. So he says here in Philippians, or 1 Corinthians 9:24, know you not that they which run in a race, and then again he's talking to the athletes, run all, but one receiveth the prize. There's only one first place in that race. And I want you to remind you again that in the race that we're in, it's more like a joint. It's a joint inheritance, a joint body. So we should think that there are more than one who can receive the prize. But in the race that he's using here, in the contest that they were familiar with, there's only one person going to get the first place. And typically we don't remember who got second. That doesn't seem to be very important to us. We're always interested in who got first. So he says they all run a race, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Now, all that means is you can't lose the crown. It's not something that's going to wear with age. It's not going to get wore out. It's not going to in any way be destroyed. The enemy can't get to it. It's something that the Lord has got his hand on, has got it protected. It's not corruptible. And he goes on and says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now here he's talking about a boxer they call it shadow boxing, where these guys improve their timing and that by just, you know, frailing away in the air with their fist, but they're really not hitting anybody and they're not really accomplishing. They're not, you know, hurting their opponent when they're just frailing away and not hitting anything but air. And so he's saying that he doesn't want us to do that. He wants every blow to count. He wants every stroke to count. And then again, he talks about this being under subjection. And as we've said before, that just meant that they were in training, that they were dedicated to the work to accomplish to receive the prize. But he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So again, I want to remind you there's an opportunity to miss it, to miss the reward, to miss the crown. And Paul doesn't want that for us. He didn't want it for himself, and he doesn't want that for us. But these people here had that opportunity to miss out. I think in a very real sense, we can in our dispensation. Read that over there in Philippians. Not sure if I read this before, but let's go to Colossians 3. And we're going to go down to verse 24. It has been said from this pulpit earlier that your responsibility is not only just to listen but to go and search and see. Check out what I'm saying. And I try not to be an heir. I try to teach the truth, but I'm not sure that I have all the answers. And so if you go back and look at this and find something different, find something better, send me an email, regunther@juno.com. I'll look at it and test it with the scriptures. That's what I'd ask each and every one of us to do, just comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I don't know how else to say this other than whatever you're doing, do it with the right attitude. Because God can count that as well done, whether it's successful or not. If you've done it with the right attitude, if you've done it for Him, and if you've done it with the idea of being thankful, He can count that. Like I said, He is keeping track. 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. I kind of like the way the Lord does this. He doesn't really leave anybody out. Everybody's got a responsibility to someone else. We have a relationship with someone else. And we used to say when our kids were little, you should do what we said because we said so. We're of the frame of mind that we should say what we should have said was, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So that's why children should obey their parents. They should learn. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. By the way, that was the verse my daughter always quoted back to me whenever I was trying to give her instruction. Lest they be discouraged. And there was a few times she was right, but most of the time she was just trying to, you know, blow smoke and mirrors. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. It always seems to me like that you just can't go too far wrong if whenever you're doing something for the Lord, you have this fear of God, having a respect for who He is and what he is and what he does with what he has because of who he is. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I sometimes murmur and complain a little bit about some of the mundane tasks that come about, like mowing the yard. If I really change that, though, to just doing it for the Lord, taking care of His yard, taking care of His business, it just makes it a lot easier. It's doing the same work, but it's just a lot easier when we're doing it for the Lord. And then He can reward us accordingly. He can reward us accordingly in both ways. If we don't do it, we do the same work, but you don't receive the prize. And, you know, my advice is let's do it His way. Knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward. And by the way, He is a rewarder. So He likes doing this. He likes keeping track and keeping score and giving out that which He says is right and proper and good. He says that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Notice verse 25. But he that doeth wrong, these people that suggest that, hey, we've got it all, it's already secure, we don't have to be concerned about it, we've got all these blessings, they're already ours. What are you worried about? What are you concerned about? Well, he says, for he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. He's not talking about some evil person out here. He's talking to believers here. That they can make bad choices. They can choose to do the wrong thing. So he says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of persons. And so what that means is that God is looking at the intent on your heart. Not necessarily who you are or what you have or who your parents are. So there's a reward. And here he says it's a reward of the inheritance. Which, by the way, I've asked myself that question. Is this real? Is this tangible? And I have to say, yeah. The inheritance is real and it's tangible. It's something that we receive blessings now. Even though sometimes I don't think we think of it that way because we haven't been promised baskets in store. But the Lord takes care of us and meets our goals. I just like to think of it as I'm just taking care of His stuff. Whatever I have, it's His. And it's just my job to take care of it. And I sometimes say I don't really need too much to take care of. You know, just give me whatever you think I need and that'll be sufficient for me to take care of. I'm His steward. And I'm just taking care of His stuff. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:4. I apologize, but I did not look up at the clock to see when I started. And I don't know when I'm supposed to get done. Can somebody tell me? It's about 2:30. Can somebody tell me when I started at a quarter till? So I'm almost done now. I got 45 minutes. So I will try to sum this up. I'm going to read here Timothy, and because Brother Jim's here, I've got to go to Ephesians to close. Because he said that's one of the requirements as teachers that we always end in Ephesians, one way or another. So, 1 Timothy 5:4. Doesn't it seem like this time, well, maybe it doesn't go back so fast for you, but it seems like it goes faster for me. He says in 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite. That word requite, which is not a word I use every day in our language, but that has that idea of that reward. That it's something that the Lord will do. So he says, first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. It always gets me when people say, "Well, I don't know what you know what's acceptable to the Lord." Well, it seems to me like He gives us the instructions; we just have to follow along. I guess the biggest point is they don't want to necessarily follow those rules. Let's go to Ephesians. One thing good about Pal Talk, the tape doesn't run off at home when we have our lessons. The tape, when it clicks, I'm done. And so on Pal Talk, there's nothing that clicks. We can go more than 45, and it's not a problem there. I wanted to go to verse 14. Ephesians 1:14. He says, which is the earnest, or we can just say it's a down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption. That word redemption is that same word as reward. Redemption of the purchased possession into the praise of His glory. And I want to go down to verse 18, so I'll just continue to read. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that's the best that we can do, I think, when we try to share the Word, is just to shed some light on it. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, or in the holy place. And then let's go to 5:5. We're going to close with that. And I'll look at 14. He says, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. I wanted 5:5. I read the wrong verses. I'm going to go back to verse 5. I apologize for that. Verse 5, he says, for this you know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And the point I was trying to make there was the fact about this. Just repeat the verse again. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person. So these people who are not obeying the rules, they don't have an inheritance, or they don't get that reward in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Thanks for your time. Hopefully you will have got something from this, from thought about this reward. Hopefully I've kind of made you at least think about the fact that I think it is tangible, that it is something that others can see. It's something that the Lord says that we should seek after. We shouldn't make light of it. We shouldn't think that it's not important. If Paul is taking the time to say that it is something that we can receive, then we should seek after it. I think it's like when you're setting your goal, you're wanting the best. You're setting your goal to be the best that the Lord has. Thank you.